values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
All right, thanks for being here. Final hour of our Thursday. Appreciate you spending time with us. Earlier this morning, we spoke with the Senate President, Arizona State Legislature, Warren Peterson. Yesterday, in the same fashion as the week before, the House of Representatives a week ago repealed the existing abortion law, which dates back to 1864. 1977, people are saying it was reaffirmed. I want to be fair to both sides, but it was an old law, and the Democrats moving to repeal it. We're able to get two Republicans in the House to vote with them to repeal that in the House. It then went over to the Senate. Yesterday, it was taken up in the Senate, and after lengthy debate and people explaining their votes, two Republicans, Senator Sean Abolik and Senator T.J. Shope, sided with Democrats, and it was repealed in the Senate. Now, it's expected that early this afternoon, the governor is going to sign it. She said she was going to, which means that 90 days after the session ends, we will revert back to a 15-week ban that was voted on and passed and signed by the previous administration, Governor Ducey, in 2022. Now, there are a couple of things at play here. One is that, as a matter of fact, I want you to hear the explanation. This is the explanation from the Senate President. Warren Peterson joined us earlier this morning, and here's how he talked about that 15-week ban.
As far as process goes, it passed. You know, the governor's going to sign it, which means that the 15-week law will be the law of Arizona. So it's the abortion is, you know, up to 15 weeks.
So that was what was agreed upon. Many people thought that that was a compromise that people could live with, that in the days after Roe v. Wade was sent back to the states with the Dobbs decision, that states were going to wrestle with the abortion restrictions in their states. In Arizona, it seems as if a majority of Arizonans, even if they are someone, and many people have said, many women have said, I wouldn't have an abortion myself, but I believe access needs to be there in the case of the life of the mother and for other reasons, rape or incest, whatever those reasons are, they wanted some kind of legalization to access to abortion at some level. At the same time, most people know that or believe that there should be restrictions on advancement of the pregnancy, viability of the pregnancy, even that the ballot initiative that you're going to see in November. We know you're going to see it from the Arizona for Abortion Access. It says in their one page referendum, viability of pregnancy. Even they acknowledge that at some point in the pregnancy, it is now a human life and you can no longer abort that pregnancy without some extreme reasons. And some would say not so extreme. It's very vague. And I would say people that are suspicious of this believe it's vague intentionally. And I agree with that. I think it's vague intentionally. They don't specify a doctor. They specify healthcare professional. That's a big designation. That's not just me saying that because I'm pro-life. Go talk to a lawyer and how important the difference between may and shall is in a contract. If you have a contract with your employer and your employer says, if we let you go without cause, if we just decide we're going in a different direction, we may pay you for your full contract. Or it says we shall pay you for the duration of your contract. Drastically different. May means it's up to them. Shall means they have to pay you. Just that little, it doesn't sound like much. Big difference. So there are people that are questioning this. And so the 15 weeks seemed like a compromise that the pro-life crowd would see big restrictions and the pro-choice crowd would have up to 15 weeks. Now, I'm not doing this to be inflammatory, but if you want to see what a compromise this was for the people that are pro-life that don't like this at all, go and look online and take a look at what a pregnancy looks like at 15 weeks. It is definitely a formed child. You are seeing what looks like a child. And so there are many people, pro-life people, that thought 15 weeks was too far to go. But now you've got a referendum that's going to be on the ballot. And it is vague, in my opinion, as well. I'm giving you my honest opinion. It is very vague. It opens the door. It talks about mental health, which means could a healthcare professional say that you are depressed and therefore there are no limits on when you could abort a pregnancy? I think this is the concerns that many Arizonans have, and it's the fine print, and it's on this abortion initiative. And so the people that are in favor of, that are pro-choice, they believe this gives a lot of freedom. And it does. It absolutely does. But to the pro-life crowd, and the organization is called It Goes Too Far, they spell out that this goes much further than what most Arizonans agreed with in this 15-week ban. So I asked the Senate President, Warren Peterson, are you concerned about that ballot initiative for November?
This fall, the Democrats are putting on, there's an initiative that'll go on that will basically allow abortion up until birth, because there's big exceptions in there. They'll try to say it's not that, but it'll allow abortion up to birth. And so obviously that is insane and extreme. That's out of touch with the voters. If people get educated on that, I believe that will fail.
So when you hear about viability of the pregnancy, and I kept going back to that word when I read it, because I thought even the people that are in favor of abortion being legalized, and I don't want to say in favor of abortions, because I'm really not trying to be inflammatory to either side, but even they acknowledge in their referendum that there is a point in a pregnancy in which that is a child. So instead of this angry signs outside demanding you keep your laws off my body and all these other things, why isn't the conversation where it really belongs? I believe life begins much earlier than you believe life begins. I believe that pregnancy deserves to be protected, that child deserves constitutional protections much earlier in the pregnancy than you believe. That really is what it boils down to, because at some point, 99% of people believe that a mother shouldn't be able to abort a pregnancy in the third trimester right before. And so when they say, well, that's very extreme. Well, so are the cases of rape and incest. So are these other cases. We are talking about the extremes. We are talking about these things, and we have to wrestle with them. That's what society does. But we should do it in a civil way, but it's not. So I asked the Senate President, is there a chance that the Republicans in the legislature will get a referendum on the ballot that has more restrictions than what the one that's going to be on there, this one that says healthcare professional? Is there one that's going to be more defined? Is there one that will be on the ballot? And here was his answer.
I would like to put, you know, life options on the ballot. It's been hard to get a consensus. We have to get 47 people to agree on something. So far, we have had discussions on putting something on the ballot, but so far we haven't found something that we can get 47 people to agree on.
And that is because there are a number of pro-life Republicans, and I respect them, is that they're saying that anything that doesn't say life at conception, I can't support, because I believe that life begins at conception. And I respect that immensely. I agree with that principle. The other part of it is, what is going to pass? And that's where you're looking at how life should be versus how life is. If the Republicans in the legislature, and this is what they have to wrestle with, and I'm talking about the pro-life Republicans, that if you are pretty sure that in November, given the options between the law as it is with this 15-week ban and the law, the proposed referendum, which will allow for a lot of interpretation that is very scary to some people, if you think that referendum is going to pass, that it's going to alter the Constitution of the state of Arizona and will be basically impossible to ever repeal or change, then you better come up with something different. But it goes against everything you believe in when you say life begins at conception. That's what they're wrestling with. That's what this boils down to. All right, coming up in a minute, we are going to do the segment we call Did You Hear This? It's how we catch you up on our biggest news stories of the day.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, let's get you caught up on our biggest headlines of the day. We call it Did You Hear This?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
The Arizona Senate voted to repeal the 1864 abortion law. Senate President Warren Peterson says Republicans are looking to put together a ballot measure to counter the Arizona for Abortion Access Initiative that would enshrine the right to abortion in the state's constitution. Senator Peterson says it has been hard to find a consensus.
We have to get 47 people to agree on something. So far, we have not. We have had discussions on putting something on the ballot, but so far we haven't found something that we can get 47 people to agree on.
What is a measure Republicans could agree on?
Man, that's so hard to say because, as the senator described it, there are many of the Republicans that are wrestling with the fact that they are pro-life and that they believe that life begins at conception. And what they don't want to do is compromise that belief by agreeing to a piece of, by a referendum that would actually say that there's a time frame where abortions could be legal. On the other side of it, they are saying, but if we don't do that, we know we're going to get a referendum that's probably going to pass that's going to open the door to something that is really untenable to anybody that is in favor of restriction. So they're between a rock and a hard place. What would be this 15 weeks seem to be what everybody agreed on? Would they be able to solidify that in a referendum? Would that be something everybody could agree on? They're going to have to get a lot of legislators to sign on that dotted line, and I don't think they're going to get enough that'll do that.
President Biden spoke at the White House today on the escalating pro-Palestinian protests on college campuses. The president said he upholds the right to peaceful protests alongside the rule of law.
Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest.
Did it take too long for President Biden to make a statement?
It took much, much longer than it needed to. If you remember back when they were concerned about the Proud Boys and other protests that were going on, the federal government was deeply involved in looking at the people that were doing these things, and they were racist. And this, there's no doubt about those things and the way the charges against them of being racist. Well, this is no different. And so the federal government should have put their foot down a long time ago. There is a difference between your First Amendment right to assemble. Peaceful assembly and protesting is absolutely protected, whether I agree with you or not. But when you are doing things like this and trespassing is part of it, the sooner you intervene, the better off you are and send the message. The White House waited too long. I'm glad they're speaking now, but it's maybe going to be too little too late. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to catch you up on the big headlines.
The Federal Reserve chose to not lower interest rates yesterday, with Chairman Jerome Powell citing high prices as a major issue.
Inflation has eased substantially over the past year, while the labor market has remained strong. And that's very good news. But inflation is still too high. Further progress in bringing it down is not assured, and the path forward is uncertain.
How did the Federal Reserve get in a bind over interest rates?
The issue here is that we are not seeing interest rates. We are not seeing inflation decrease anywhere near the 2%. As a matter of fact, we've seen a rebound in inflation, and there's a big concern in that world. So what is going to be the key to this happening is what they're trying to figure out. And part of the problem is that if they raise rates again, they're afraid we're going to see a big dip. Growth only was at 1.6%. Now, that's what they call stagflation. He warned against that, saying, I don't see the stag or the flation, but they have to be concerned about it because we have seen slowing growth, but we have not seen inflation dropping and dropping and dropping. So the concern now is if inflation stays sticky, they're in big trouble because growth is slowing. So they're between a rock and a hard place. I think it's kind of a wait and see, but it delays rate decreases. We were hoping for 5 or 6 this year, and it looks like that's never going to happen.
Arizona Senate President Warren Peterson also told the show about a new ballot measure called HCR 26-2026, a Secure the Border Act that voters could have a say on in November. Senator Peterson says it would address illegal immigration and the fentanyl crisis.
We're looking at the law that Texas has that says you can be arrested and deported by state officials if you are here unlawfully, if you are found to have come into the country unlawfully, illegally.
If it is like the Texas law, could it run into legal trouble?
Well, one of the things I believe that they are going to write into this referendum is that it's based on it standing up to constitutional muster, meaning if SB4, stands up to constitutional muster, then this is going to be the law of the land. Now, here, I've got to be very honest about this. I am not a fan of our propositional form of government. I don't like it at all. I think it's a lazy form of government. We are a representative republic. The problem they've run into is this. They have so many vetoes from the governor that there is nothing that they can do to get anything through her office. When something got to her desk, she vetoed it. So they are saying this is such a crisis, we need to take it to the voters. Because if the voters do this, there is no way it can be vetoed by the governor. And so is this trying to send a message that this governor's not doing the will of the people? I'm not a fan of propositions, but that's what they're trying to do with this, where you can vote as an Arizona to say enough is enough, and let's let the states do the things that the federal government's not doing. All right, that's Did You Hear This? Great job, Julia. I know it's easy picking. Sometimes it's just easy and it writes itself, and other times it's got to be difficult to figure out what you're going to narrow it down to.
Well, sometimes it feels like there's really top two stories, and then I'm like, okay, well, what's the rest of it? You know what I mean?
But sometimes there's such big stories, it's like, how do we get it all into one segment?
Sometimes you can't.
I know. And you figure out, how do we not talk about this today? Great job, though. We'll do it again tomorrow to round out the week. Coming up in a moment, the majority of Americans over the age of 50 are saying they're worried they won't have enough money to retire. We'll talk about that next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
We are keeping a very close eye on the economy. I think most people are, and there's a difference. There's a difference in what you perceive as happening overall because of what you're surrounded by and hearing and reading and listening to. There is how your personal situation is going, and then there is kind of the overall reality of how things are. The Fed was expected to lower interest rates a few times this year because we were watching inflation tick down most of last year. We had seen a peak of over 9%. We had very high inflation. But then we saw the drop in inflation stall and actually rebound a little bit at the beginning of this year, in the first quarter of this year. 3.5%, I believe it was, year over year in the month of March. April numbers will be coming probably late next week. I think they come out around the 10th. So there we have numbers for what happened in the month of April. We'll get a better picture. Was March an anomaly? But what happened in the month of March that made people worry a great deal was we had kept talking about the GDP growth, the gross domestic product and growth in America, job growth, and jobs are moderating. And it depends on how you look at the numbers. I certainly don't blame the White House or people in the administration for putting what they're always going to do, their best foot forward, and say these are the glossy things, the very good things that are happening with the economy. But reality, a lot of people are still working two or three jobs, and here's how I know that there's a difference between what is being said a lot of times and the reality of it, and explain this. The American people are not buying into Bidenomics. They aren't really even using that term anymore. And it's because it isn't working for them. Well, it's not working for them. And some of the people that say, well, hang on a minute. Well, job numbers are strong. Unemployment is low. Wages have gone up. Why is it that people don't see how good this economy really is? It's because people are still hurting. They are paying much higher prices for the same lifestyle that they had a few years ago. You're still paying thousands of dollars more per month to live the same life you did a few years ago. And many people have not had wage increases that are keeping up with inflation. Now, we did see good news last year and part of the end of last year that wages were outpacing inflation, but not by that much. And it's going to take a long time for it to equalize. And if you were seeing a pathway there, you're looking forward. There are two questions that are asked of people when it comes to the economy. One of them is, are you better off this year than you were last year? And the other one is, do you believe you will be better off next year than you are this year? Now, five years ago, before COVID, so I guess about 5 years ago, it was the first time in decades that the majority of people answered affirmatively to both questions. Yes, I'm better off this year than I was last year, and I think next year is going to be even better. You can get a yes to one or the other or no to both, but it's a long, it's been a long time since people answered yes to both. Right now, when you ask people, are you better off now than you were last year? Many people would probably say yes because inflation has slowed down. But consumer confidence about next year, the number of people that think they may lose their jobs, the story in front of me of people over the age of 50, 61% of people that were polled by the AARP over the age of 50 believe they're not going to have enough money to retire on. And 50's tough. I'm almost 57. 50's tough because you see yourself closer to the end than the beginning. It's when you start. And I, you know, all my stages of life, I was told it was coming and I didn't see it until it happened to me. And I'm at that stage in life. I still feel terrific. My head still tells me I'm much younger than I am, but looking at the reality of life, my choice would be to sit here in this chair and do this in perpetuity, do it forever. But I know nothing lasts forever. They're not going to keep me in this chair forever. So I'm going to have to make choices on what's next, and I'm going to have to prepare for what's next. And so am I ready? Am I prepared at almost 57 years old? If they pull the plug on this show tomorrow, what am I going to do next? Am I going to be able to make a living? Am I going to have to go out there and work as hard at 57 as I did at 37. I hope not. I don't want, you know, that's the concern for people. But when you look at the overall economy, we were told, and this is not, I know that it's because it's an election year. I'm a staunch conservative Republican. And so this is all, it's not about a body slam of the administration. It's an acknowledgement of what's happened to people. It's where you are. We were told that inflation was going to be what they called transitory. I'd never heard that phrase. Now, a lot of people had, if you're in that world, I've never been in that world. Transitory inflation. Inflation was going to tick up slightly, and then it was going to drop right back down. That's what we were told by the president, by the president's press secretary, by the head of the Fed, by Yellen. We were told by all of the experts that that's what they anticipated was going to happen. And so now we've heard them all kind of go back and say, I wish I hadn't said that. The Fed now has said, Jerome Powell has said recently, we don't normally comment on policy, but we are on a fiscally unsustainable path because of the deficit spending. The Congressional Budget Office said the same thing. The International Monetary Fund has said the same thing. Barons of industry in the U.S. have said the same thing. And yet the deficit spending isn't ending. We are seeing that this administration not only is not ending their deficit spending, they want to raise taxes and continue to deficit spend. So the American people are not dumb. And I understand, and I think the older I get, the longer I do this job, the more I understand I'm not speaking to people that agree with me politically or even care politically. People want information. People want to know, I understand how you feel. I feel the same way. And I think that that's a big part of this. Americans are not looking at whether or not Joe Biden should be president again. The American people are looking at, are we going in the right direction? And that's the way the American people should see things. And Americans, as far as the economy goes and as far as the border goes, the American people are saying absolutely not, that we are going in the wrong direction. And the frustrating part for people, because they're not as politically astute or inclined or engaged, involved, is that it doesn't seem like anybody's listening. You know, we continue to see government programs and we continue to see the size and scope of government grow. And for me, you know, again, I'm a small government person, so it is political. But for other people, it doesn't make sense to me. When I'm having budget problems in my house, my budget shrinks. I don't go buy more things. I don't get another credit card. I don't open up the door to spending more money. I shrink my spending. Sometimes I have to shrink my spending and get another job. That happens to me. But what this government is doing is raising taxes and expanding the size of government. With all of the good job numbers we've had in the last 2 years, don't take my word for it. Please never take my word for it. Go and look at the leading job, you know, when they talk about non-farm jobs. Go look at the leading sectors which were leading, whether it's construction or the service industry. You will see in the top three categories almost every single quarter that it was released or every single month that's released that the government job sector was near the top. for the last couple of years. So here we had COVID-19 and we spent trillions of dollars to prop up our economy. And instead of tightening the fiscal belt and trying to pay down that debt like we should be doing, we're expanding the size of government at an alarming rate. And many people look at that from just, it doesn't matter what your political ideology is. And you say, that's just bad business. That just doesn't make sense. And when it comes to your personal economy, here we are. Yesterday, I paid $4.19 a gallon for gasoline. $4.19. And there are other people saying, that's not that bad. I've seen it higher. I use my grocery store points. You know, when I can, I duck in. This time it happened to be there was a Safeway gas station at Greenway and Tatum. I ducked in there to fill up because I knew I could use my points, and I knocked it down by 20 cents a gallon. And, you know, so I paid a little under $4 a gallon, but I did it because I had the points that I already spent at the grocery store. So people look at that, the what you're paying for food. I mentioned the other day talking with the Farm Bureau people and how much money farmers and ranchers are paying to raise crops and cattle. And that's why your food's so expensive. Well, their costs aren't going down. As a matter of fact, their costs are going to go up. Those small businesses will pay more in taxes. Those are the kinds of things that it doesn't matter what your political leanings are. It frustrates people. All right, like we do every day, we've got a few minutes left before we get out of here. And what we're going to do before we close out the show, some of the big major headlines, whether it's the abortion thing that's happened, some of the other decisions on elections. We're also going to talk to somebody from Chris and Joe and find out what's happening 2 to 4. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, my time is almost done, which means we make room for the rest of the afternoon coming up 2 to 4 and maybe actually a little before that is the Chris and Joe Show. Chris is in studio with me, Chris Merrill. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's happening. It's a big deal going on, but we don't know what. East Valley, they're having a big press conference today. They've gathered Chief Mike Solberg from the Gilbert Police Department is gathering up a number of other officials who have been investigating East Valley violence here over the last, you know, 6-8 months. And they're supposed to be some sort of an announcement today. So now, of course, we don't know any more than that. So we put on our detective hats and we start asking around. Does anybody know anything? No. So what could it be? So our irresponsible speculation is looking at, is this an opportunity to decide whether or not the Gilbert Goons is a street gang? We'll be looking to see if they say that today. Could there be more arrests? We'll be looking to see if they have more arrests today. Is there an advancement in, for instance, the East Valley Fusion Center, where they amalgamate a bunch of...
Yeah.
Is that too big a word? Joe gets mad at me when I use 3-syllable words. Where they're going to bring in a bunch of information and mix it all up together like a paint can. So there's a lot
I am
of,
from Florida.
Yeah. There's a lot of questions about what that could be. And then Rachel Mitchell's biweekly press conference, I think, was supposed to be today, too. So I don't know what's going on with that, the county attorney.
One more. Could it be more on charges against the parents that seem to be harboring
the child?
That's
a great question. Yeah. These are all questions that we're still waiting for. We're waiting for answers on all of these things. And hopefully we get some clarity today. So that press conference is scheduled for 1:30. Our intention is to carry it live here at KTAR. We do have a reporter who will be on scene. I'll be able to check with him. And then we'll have our attorney, depending on what the information is. We've contacted our legal representative. We found him at a billboard. So Barry Markson will be joining us at 2:15 if everything goes according to schedule. And you know how officials are, Mike, when it comes to we've got a press conference scheduled for a certain time.
You know, it's
some of them are really punctual and some of them are terrible.
I've done a couple of events back in the day with George W. Bush.
Yeah.
If the schedule said he is in the building at 11:37,
yeah,
he was in the building at 11:37.
Right, right.
He was very punctual. Others, and I guess there's exceptions. You're the president.
Yeah. You get a phone call.
So there are some people, 1:30 means ish.
Right. We've run into that. Biden's really bad at hitting the dais when he's supposed to. So I don't know for sure what time it's supposed to start. So we'll start our coverage at about 1:30 today.
But I would think local officials, they're going to want to be, if they say 1:30, I think you're going to be within 5 minutes or so, don't you think?
Yeah. I don't know what... Like, if they said 4:30, I'd think, well, they got to be out the door 5, right? So they're not going to be late. But 1:30 gives them all afternoon they got to kill. So I don't know.
And we'll they're just coming in from lunch.
Right.
So they may be running a little late. A
little salad dressing on the cheek kind of thing going on. We'll find out.
If they're listening, they're going to be thrilled
they're
with
gonna
this.
They're going to go, this, we can't catch a break with this guy. Unbelievable. Yeah. So we're looking forward to that stuff.
What else? That's a big what one. Else? What are some of the things you're looking at? What are you interested in?
Well, that's a great question. I'm kind of keeping an eye on what's going on with the protest stuff, because one thing that I'm noticing that's different, it's become such a huge national story, and ASU was part of that national narrative with the arrests, and now ASU has kind of fallen off as part of the national story, because we really haven't seen the kind of violence, we haven't seen the sort of defacing of public property, we haven't seen any of the destruction that we've seen elsewhere. So ASU actually is kind of ahead of the curve on that one.
And
so I'm watching that.
This morning, for whatever reason, I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I couldn't go back to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I was flipping around channels, and I was watching the cops and at UCLA.
Yeah.
That was a big undertaking.
Yeah, it was. And kind of scary, too. So there's this big part of me that says to these protesters, you guys went too far. Knock it off, right? But then if the whole protester's point is to draw attention to oppression, and then you go after them in riot gear, it kind of serves their narrative at the same time. But it's a tricky situation.
It is. And not allowing students to get to class unless they're wearing certain things.
All of a sudden makes them the oppressors.
Makes them the oppressor. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to the coverage. Press conference at 1:30 and the Chris and Joe show to follow. Make sure you follow us on social media at Broomhead KTAR on X. That's where my account is, at Broomhead Show. Update you on what we're doing on the show. Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. That's the social media way to keep in touch with me between shows. Please do that. Tomorrow morning's our Friday edition at about 8:15. Until then, God bless.